here, and I always find that evangelism is very intimidating to people. So just take, for example, how many people are here inside this class. The point is a lot of people look at evangelism and they're like, oh, this looks scary. It looks like a giant monster. So today we are just going to be talking about evangelism. What is it? We're going to be talking about what our motivation needs to be in it and building a good foundation as we dispel various myths that surround evangelism. So I'm looking forward to this. I hope that's a blessing to you. In your handouts, just take notes as we go along. If you have questions, don't be afraid to raise up your hand, and I would love to answer those and as we walk through this. So the soul-winning life, this is the main kind of theme of our talks that we're having. The first one is going to be over the myths surrounding the soul-winning life. The next one is going to be the soul-winning message, which we're going to go into the next topic. It's going to be over men's retreat. So men, if you're gone, tune in at another time when we record it. And that's going to be the gospel we're going to be talking about. And then the last two are going to talk about different elements of the soul-winning life inside your personal life and home and things surrounding that. So please come to it. All right. Try to get this thing to work. It is turned on. All right, so we might not have PowerPoint, but that's okay. Or I might need Micah just to click for me. Can you click for me? Thanks. Okay, yeah. So what is evangelism? Okay, myth number one. Evangelism is doing door-to-door knocking and street preaching. This is what a lot of people believe evangelism is. How many people, when you think of evangelism, you get really intimidated by it? Like, raise up your hand. I mean, that even goes for me. I think that when we hear evangelism, we think like, okay, when Luke says he's going to go out and do evangelism and he wants us to come with him, what he means is he wants me to go up to a stranger's house and knock on the door and give a full-blown five-minute gospel conversation and the door's going to get shut on my face. Or he's going to, if even worse, take me down to the farmer's market. And what's going to happen is he's going to put me on the corner of that street. He's going to hand me a script, and I'm just going to start preaching it. No, that's not what evangelism is. Even just according to the Oxford Dictionary, it says evangelism is the spreading of the Christian gospel by public preaching or personal witness. Okay, so you see that? Spreading the gospel by public preaching. So there is a public aspect of it that you can take place in, or personal witness. So all evangelism is simply is just sharing your faith, is sharing the gospel with people and putting and just going out and having personal conversations. It does have an aim, though. There is another guy called Stiles. He wrote a book for 9 marks on evangelism. He says this: evangelism is teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. All right. I'm a big Nebraska Cornhusker fan, right? When I tell you that the Nebraska Cornhuskers are the best team in the nation, historically, not right now, not even close to right now, the reason why is because I will go through how many total wins they have, how many national championships they have, how many Heisman Trophy winners they have, despite their location, how they've been able to be so successful. All these different most academic All-American, you know, I could go into all these different things, and I just don't tell you it's the best team and walk away, I don't, you know, really care. No, I'm going to seek to tell you why it is the best team. Why it is. We who have the gospel, who have believed in it, think about this. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because we know we need salvation, because we have gone from death to life, and now we have this good news. And we aim to persuade people, to seek to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, they may take it or leave it. It might be an aroma of death to some and bringing about life to others. But yet we know this inside Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So we have an aim to persuade. We believe that is the power of God for salvation. It is not just something that we can take it or leave it. So evangelism, guys, is sharing your faith with others with the aim to persuade, seeking to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, hoping that people will come to believe in it. It's not just simply door-to-door knocking, and it's not just preaching on the streets. Okay, next. So what should our motivation be for sharing the gospel? Myth number two. All motivations for evangelism are good. All right, all motivations for evangelism are good. Okay, so many of us, we can be very pragmatic at times. We can say, you know what? I don't care how they get there. I'm just happy they're out there doing it, you know? Like, man, I might have just told that old lady that she's going to hell if she doesn't come along with us, but that's not true, but at least she's out here doing it. No, we do want to have a good motivation for sharing the gospel. Many evangelists out there tell you to do evangelism for the wrong reasons. Let me go through some of these. So some might be your pastor, and they might say, well, if you don't come to the farmer's market, you're a bad Christian. Or if you don't testify to your fellow coworkers, well, then you're missing brownie points with me. Here's the pastor. No, that's called guilt tripping. And guilt tripping is not a good motivation to do it. Now, God does call us as good believers to go do those things, but we do not guilt trip people into sharing the gospel. We do not seek to be fear-mongering, but we seek to not have a spirit of fear to many, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So we might think, well, as long as we can get people out, that's just good. No, we do want to have a good motivation. Inside Philippians 1, 15 through 18, Paul talks about men who shared the gospel with bad motivations, that they did it out of selfish gain. We are also not people who are just here to pass out fire insurance. I hate that when people say that. Once my dad was moving a house on a foundation, and he was one of those crazy guys who moved it like 3 miles to put it on a new foundation. And the guy who was moving it, he's like, yeah, I talked to a preacher once, and he said, you know, he's all about selling fire insurance. And I asked, what is fire insurance? And he's like, well, get out of hell. Well, we want to give him a get out of hell free card. No, that is a false motivation. That's a bad motivation, because it's not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is about making Christ Lord and giving everything to follow him. It's a bad motivation for evangelism to say, well, we just want to get people out of hell. Well, you're calling people to submit to a Lord and a master, to give their lives fully to him. And like Daniel saying, you must take up your cross daily and follow him. Like, carry around your electric chair. We need to get the whole gospel. We need to make sure that the motivation for evangelism is good. It says this inside 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So we need to be sincere in what we do. So what does our motivation need to be then for evangelism? So if those are all the bad ideas, what are some good things that we need to be about? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. All right, this was plastered across in my college inside our cafeteria. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. So that means in your conversations with others, how you work, at work, all those things you are doing unto the glory of the Lord. How you parent your children, how you run a race. But especially in evangelism, and everything that we do surrounding that, we need to do unto his glory. He also says this inside 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, isn't that an awesome verse? Okay, so some people think these things. God saved me. I don't really need to share the gospel, though. That's for some pastors and the evangelist dude over there and maybe some charismatic teenagers. But for me, that's not the case. But look at this verse. He says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, okay? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him. Okay, so you are this so that, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim. God has saved you and has called you into his family and has made you an ambassador. You are to be proclaiming the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that is the gospel. We are to be proclaiming his excellencies. These excellencies denote praise and virtue. We are to be telling what God has done inside our lives. And if that's not enough motivation, so one, we're to do everything we do unto the glory of the Lord. We are saved that we might do this. And then lastly, we see Jesus, he says this, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay, so not only are we supposed to be living for the glory of the Lord, not only did God save us that we might be doing this, but our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, before he ascended into heaven, declared this to his disciples. This is what we are to be doing. If you ask, like, I just want to know what I'm supposed to do as a believer, and use this cool laser, that is it. We are to be making disciples. We are to be doing this. So if evangelism seems scary to you, if evangelism sees like, oh, this is insane, think about it. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples. All right. When should we evangelize? Okay, so some people think there's different myths surrounding evangelism. They say you should only evangelize if you feel like it. Otherwise, it is not sincere. All right? Some people want to say, I don't want to be insincere. I want to make sure that what I say is from the heart, you know? You just want to be about like, man, I just want them to know that I love them. And if they don't know that I love them, then I probably shouldn't share anything at all. You know, there's also there's this quote that went around from a guy who was, I think, well-intentioned when he said it, according to his original message. But a lot of people have used it falsely where they say that, you know, share the gospel and if necessary, use words. That means just live, 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 and then maybe share your faith if you need to. No. What does the Bible say about these things? It says this. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Okay, so when should we evangelize? We should always be ready to do it all the time. Always being ready to make a defense. This is something that we are to be alert, to be ready for. We are to be engaged in and constantly thinking about. How many of you guys, when you go to the grocery store, are you prepared to give the reason for your faith? How many? What? No, yeah. I mean, we don't think that way a lot, right? How many of us, when we're engaging in conversations with others, we're hoping for an opportunity to share our faith? We're actually praying for it. How many of us are like, was it Nehemiah, who was when he was before the king? He was praying that he might, he's there before the king, and he started praying right there on the spot. How many of us, when we're talking to others, we're praying and asking for God's help and that, hey, Lord, help me to give the defense for what I believe in. Everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope to which I hold to. That's when we're supposed to be doing it, is all the time. It's to constantly be dominating our life. It's to be constantly in our thoughts. It is to be something we are to always be about. We are always to be ready to give an account. And some people might say, well, if you're not feeling it, then it's insincere, like I said earlier. Like Daniel's saying, this culture is just so consumed with emotions. It's crazy. But think about this. If I said I only serve my wife when I feel like it, then am I really loving her? No. I mean, you do what actually shows true sincerity to what you believe in is when you do it when you don't even feel like it. How many of you guys feel like changing a diaper? No, none of us do. And if you do, And we have a confession booth for you later. And no, just kidding. We're not Catholics. But the point is it's something we need to always be prepared to do. So if you think that I only do it at certain times, I only do it once a year when we have our harvest party or something, no, get that out of your mind. Dispel that myth. This is something we're to constantly be living by. Okay, what should our character be like as we evangelize the lost? All right. Myth number four, all evangelists are annoying. How many of us have gone to a public square and heard an evangelist? Wow, not very many. There must not be very many up here. Okay, how many times did you think that they were annoying? Or did you roll your eyes? Yeah, Grace, Caleb. Sometimes they're really great. I've seen great ones and I've seen really bad ones. Or maybe not really bad ones, maybe well-intended ones, but yeah. The point is we when we think of evangelism, when you guys think of evangelism, is the first thing that pops up in your mind is a street preacher? Yeah, I know, I see you guys. That's what I thought all the time too. It's like evangelism, street preachers. And when we think of street preachers, we think someone who no one wants to listen to, okay? We think of uncomfortableness. We think of someone who's just being annoying, meaning overbearing. But I want us to look at this in Colossians 4, 5 through 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be filled with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. How many of you guys have ever cooked up a steak or a burger and not put salt on it? Oh, yeah. Okay, I see you. She's pointing you out. That wasn't your own doing. It doesn't taste very good, does it? It just tastes like meat. And especially if it's charcoaled, it's like way worse. Salt brings out flavor. It makes things tasteful that would otherwise be bland, right? It makes things makes food really just take it up a notch or whatnot. We're like, wow, this is really, really nice. Let your speech always be with grace so that as though seasoned with salt so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Jesus Christ said this, we are to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Let me asking questions is a great way to start conversations. And how we need to go about things is not just by being overbearing and just pushing down the gospel down people's throats, but we are to conduct ourselves with wisdom. We are to be like doves. When you think of a dove, a dove is innocent, even how it's not even annoying. If you've ever been around a dove, they just coo. They're really gentle, tender. They're just like these fluff balls, basically, that fly around, right? Most of them are white or grayish. They're really pretty birds. And we're to be innocent like doves. We are to be, in our conversations with others, we're to be seasoned as though with salt. We are to be people who are gracious towards them. We're not to be overbearing. So if you have this idea of, well, evangelism is just being annoying to someone and pushing the gospel down people's throat, no. That's not what God calls us to be. And if that's what you are doing, stop it. You're being a bad example. You are not to be wise in your words only, but also in your living, how you conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. Don't go preaching the gospel and then living completely different. Or don't go doing these different things and then all of a sudden just tearing into your coworkers. That's not being wise. You're to be as wise as a serpent. You're to evaluate, man, what kind of life am I living in front of this person? And how am I living this life unto Christ? And what does my life look like even before them? Am I conducting myself with wisdom towards outsiders? Am I letting my speech always be full of grace, as seasoned with salt, so that you'll know how to respond to each person? So, he also says, let no unwholesome talk a word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So make sure that what you say and the lives that you live are seasoned, that they're tasteful, that you're salt and light, that you're a blessing to others in your evangelism, and just don't be an overbearing, annoying person, okay? Try to be like Jesus. People love dialogue with him. He asked, like, I was on a flight 2 months ago with a Mormon. It was funny. So Abby and I were inside this airport, right? We're getting ready to load up on this flight. And we see the Mormon name tag on them that says, please share the gospel with me, you know? And Abby was joking about it. It's like, it's funny when you see those name tags, you almost like, share the gospel with them. I remember seeing him, I was like, what if we end up sitting next to him? So we're going down the flight, you know, there's hundreds of people on this flight, and all of a sudden, sure enough, right next, inside of our aisle is him right there, and Abby's like, all right, you take the middle seat. And I was like, okay. And so, and it's awesome. I just asked him tons and tons of questions. And when you ask lots of questions and you know how to direct those questions, like, hey, I see that you're a Mormon. Like, what do you believe in? Oh, what is the gospel to you? All of a sudden, you're starting to get traction. Ask lots of questions of people. People love to tell you about themselves most of the time. And a lot of times, you can start pointing those questions a certain way. So what do you believe in? Are you religious? Do you go to church anywhere? You can have different entryways into it. So don't just be an overbearing person, but be a person who actually loves. Let your love be genuine, as Romans 16 says. Let your love be genuine to others. Some other just quick verses. Pleasant words are a honeycomb and sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So have pleasant words. Now, sometimes we do have a message of condemnation, so that doesn't mean you don't preach that you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. But you do, in your conduct, need to be honoring unto Christ. So let me categorize. It's not always just a nice thing. Titus 2:8, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, have nothing bad to say about us. Let your love be genuine. Do it unto Christ. Do it in a glorifying way unto him. Okay, moving on. Do people really want to talk about spiritual things? What do you guys think? Do you think people really want to talk about spiritual things? Yes, some do. Okay, some do, you think. All right. People do not want to have spiritual conversations about life and eternity. How many of you have ever thought this? It's okay if you raise up your hand. Because sometimes you think that Daniel's like skeptical. Some of you are like, yeah, it is. Micah's like, no. Okay, I'm going to show you some stats. This is done by Evangelism Explosion. They conducted this with 1,002 Americans. And the two really counts. And I want you just to show you some of these stats. These are kind of interesting. 97% of people say it is somewhat important to very important to have hope in their lives. 97%. Okay, so people want hope. Hope is never anything that you really see, as the Bible talks about. Something that you're hoping for. That's you're hoping for it, right? So 97% of people in America want hope. Either it's somewhat important to them or very important. 98% of people say it is somewhat important to very important to have purpose and fulfillment in their life. The gospel is all about what we were made for, what we are made to do, which is to glorify God. That's what we're about. So people who you might have in your mind, no one wants to have a conversation about a spiritual conversation. Spiritual conversation is a conversation about life and the purpose of life. It's about what we are made for. Every single time you ask that question, people will always have an idea of, well, why do you think we are made for? Now, some people might just say, I don't know. But most people, they'll give you their thoughts and you can dialogue around that. It's great. 83% of people say it is somewhat important to very important to have certainty they will go to heaven or have eternal life. So 83% of people say that aspect is important. Now, that's a very spiritual thing. Heaven, where I'm going to go after I die. Some people think that, man, no one wants to talk about these things, but that's not what the stats are saying. Okay, let me go to the next one. There we go. 87% of people say they are somewhat open to very open to having a conversation about faith with a friend. All right, how many of you guys have lost friends? Okay, all of us, I can probably say, have lost friends. And if you don't, as they say in Toy Story with Woody, go get one. You know? If you guys remember that quote. You don't have a buddy, go get one. 87% of people are open to having a faith about, talking about faith with a friend. Be a friend to someone and share a faith with them. And know that it's not awkward. People want to have these conversations. Whether or not they say they do or they don't, these are what the stats are showing. 72% of people say they are somewhat open to very open about having a conversation about faith with a stranger even. So when you're in that line in the grocery store and you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, you're like, I should be sharing the gospel with this person or something. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. You'll never regret doing it. You'll probably regret not doing it. And 72% of people are open to having that conversation. So only 1 out of 4 will probably absolutely shut you down. And in my experience, that is true. 62% of people say they are somewhat open to very open to having a conversation about faith on social media. In my experience, this is about 95%. Most conversations I've had, even though stats say 62, most conversations you have on social media or through texting, a lot of people are very open to it, and they're very willing to dialogue at times. So what if you're at home and you're maybe you're confined to your home, maybe you're elderly, and you have Facebook and you're dialoguing that on that all the time, know that 62% of people say they're somewhat open to very open to having a conversation even in that space. So utilize it. Utilize it. The myth that people don't want to have spiritual conversations is a lie. It's not true. So be engaged in it. And it doesn't matter if they didn't want to, because we saw that we are commanding it. But just to dispel that myth for you. Okay. Should I talk about Jesus even if I am still growing? How many of you guys think or have thought when you first came to know Christ, like, I had to go through a whole entire 12-week class before I could share the gospel? How many of you thought that? No one. Okay, Daniel maybe did. Carrie? Yeah, Valencia? Yeah, sometimes when we come to know Christ, we think evangelism is very scary. We think only if you receive rigorous training in evangelism can you be able to share the gospel. Only if you do this. So only if I attend Luke's classes, then I'll be prepared to go out. Then I will be able to go. If this is the only thing that you attend, and even if you don't attend this, for the people who didn't, know this, that it is not just for those who rigorously train. I want us to look at some passages here. So 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. If you remember in Acts chapter 17, he comes out of Philippi, and then after Philippi, the young adults, they know this well, because we've been doing this inside our young adults kind of meeting. And we've been going through this book, and he went into Thessalonica, and he was there, it says, for 3 Sabbaths. So it might have been longer than 3 Sabbaths because of how he talks about them in Philippians, but we know it probably wasn't a very long time he was there. But yet these people who had only been a Christian for a very short time before Paul, Silas, and Timothy were all run out of town by people who then chased them from the next town again, this is what he had to say about the church of Thessalonica when he was writing back to them after being run out of town, wondering how they're doing. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Okay, so it was evident to the people outside of Thessalonica what the Thessalonians were talking about. The Thessalonians, the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia, so that's a region that would have been in the northern part. If you think of the Mediterranean, Greece, it would have been in the kind of north place. And in Achaia, that would have been in the southern portion of that Greco-Roman kind of area. That those two areas, it says, sounded forth not only in Macedonia where they were at, but also in Achaia. And in every place, your faith toward God has gone forth. What does this mean? Well, it means they were sharing, right? They were talking about it. They were talking about their faith, the things that were going on there in Thessalonica. That's where they say that these men have turned the world upside down, some translations have put it. The gospel was going forth. These were new believers. So if you're a new Christian, or maybe one who doesn't feel like you have deeper roots, well, please get deeper roots. Please continue to grow in maturity in Christ. But know this, that it's not just up to those who have gotten a seminary degree to be able to share the gospel, but it's those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ who are called to go forth. Know that the Holy Spirit indwells inside of you, that he's going to be working inside of you and using you for his kingdom and glory. Check this out. This is in Luke 8:38 through 40 with the demon-possessed man, legions of demons and everything were cast out. It says, "But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him, being Jesus, that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, 'Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you.' So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him." And so what do you see here? A man who just something miraculous happened to him. And Jesus tells him, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." Now, we can think, we can overcomplicate the gospel at times, but I want us to see this, that what this man does is he goes home and testifies to what God has done for you. If you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that means you've heard it, you've understood it, you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Share that with people. Share the scriptures that you heard that stuck out to you. And go forth into places and share the gospel about what Jesus has done. One of the evangelism books I was reading, they said, evangelism is simply this, telling others how awesome Jesus is. I might not simplify it that much, but if it helps you think, like, there's a simplicity to the gospel. There's a simplicity to that. Children can even hear it and believe in it. I had my own son sitting on a couch with me a couple weeks ago asking me questions. Asking questions. He can't understand the whole entire complex ideas of theology and doctrine that we could roll through, that a lot of us think that we need to know before sharing Christ. You should be able to articulate and share it in such a way that you could share it with a child, that they can know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so today we have kind of gone over, what is evangelism? What should our motivation be for sharing the gospel? When should we evangelize? What should our character be like as we evangelize? And do people really want to talk about spiritual things? And should I talk about Jesus even if I am still growing? I hope that some of this dispelled some myths with you guys, and that these different things that you heard really helps you think, like, you know what? God is using me. God did save me to do this. I can do this. And this is reconstructing a foundation inside your mind of what evangelism is. We're going to be doing evangelism inside this church. And we're going to have opportunities at Farmers Market. We're going to have opportunities at different places, events that we're going to host here throughout this year to do this. And I hope that you guys are equipped to do this. But what I want you guys to do right now is I want you guys to break up in groups of 5 to 10. And I want you to sit down and to be praying for the lost for 10 minutes. And to be praying for laborers to be sent out into the field. As we said earlier, that Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. We're to pray earnestly to the Lord to send laborers into the field. So I want us to first, as we start out thinking about evangelism in this class, I want us to be praying earnestly. You can just pray generically. You could say, hey, here's various people that I need to know who needs to know Jesus Christ. Write those down. But with the last 10 minutes, divide up in groups of 5 to 10 and pray with one another for the lost and how God might use this church to reach them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his field. Faithfulness and progress is not determined just by people coming to know Christ. It's by us going out. So don't ever be discouraged if you're like, man, are they going to repent? Leave that up to God. Just do your part and be faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we pray to be sent out by you. God, may we be open and willing to just go and just testify to the hope that you gave us, the hope that we have believed in, the hope of Jesus Christ, that we might always be ready to do this, Lord. That maybe these strategies of Satan, these various lies that we believe about why we shouldn't or what's hindering us, or, Lord, maybe we go about it the wrong way. I pray that we may just be keen into what your word says, and that we might be faithful people, full of hope of your coming, of your redemption, seeking to be your hands and feet. And help us, Lord, just be great ambassadors for your name as we long for your coming. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.